Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah David Minister, 12th Hour Cross Public Sabbath Sermon Congregation. I was out the 12th Hour. In the open session today is December the 16th, 2023, or it is CBIT 4/20/27. We're going to start our first service on this Sabbath day with a song to be named, and then we're going to go into a sermon. The sermon we're doing now, it'll be number 20, Tommy Green's volume 1, number 27, entitled, A Rod That Speaks Calls for the Reformation, and Calls for the Reformation. That's the name of our sermon. A Rod That Speaks, and Creates Great Controversy. On the threshold of a new world and the side of the old. Hope and prayer thought. Mount of Blessings, page 184. It says, not until you feel that you could sacrifice your own self-dignity and even lay down your life in order for the saving of an erring brother, have you cast a beam out of your own eye, so that you are prepared for the helping your brother. Then you can approach him and touch his heart. No one has ever been reclaimed from a wrong position by the censure and reproach, but many have thus been driven from Yahshua and led to seal their hearts against the conviction. A tender spirit, a gentle winning deportment, may save the erring and hide a multitude of sin. It says that for the revelation of Yahshua in your own character will have a transforming power upon all with whom you come in contact, that Yahshua be daily made manifest in you, and he will reveal through you the creative energy of his word, a gentle, persuasive, yet mighty influence for the recreating other souls and the beauty of Yahshua, or the Yahweh, Yahweh, according unto the inspiration. Our sight, none of us is qualified to find fault with anyone. Did you note what we read? That only when we come to the point that we are willing to lay down our lives for our erring brother, shall we be fitted and able to help others to correct their faults. In the light of this, what is our need, brother, sister? Should we not pray for an experience that Yahshua be manifested in us? Pray for an experience that will prepare us to help others instead of hindering them? Pray to have a gentle, persuasive, mighty truth influence on them. Then shall we be able to wisely approach the erring ones, touch their hearts, and show them their faults. Only then will they listen to us, but certainly not until then. Okay, that's in the prayer thought. We're going to go now into A Rod That Speaks Calls for the Reformation. Okay, that's in February 8, 1947, and Beat the House at Sermon. And it's taken from Micah chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hear ye now what the Yahshua said. Arise, contend thou before the mountain, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, of the Yahshua's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. before the Yahweh Yahshua had the controversy with his people, and he will plead with the Israel. Okay, let's go into our reading now. It says, first to be noted is the fact that the messenger of the Yahweh is instructed for the contending before the mountains, and that the hills are to hear his voice. Obviously, then, in this scripture, as elsewhere in the Bible, mountains and hills must be figurative of kingdoms and governments. He is to contend before the mountains, not against them. That is, he is to proclaim that the Yeshua has a controversy with his people, that he is asking for a thorough reformation among them, and that they are not willing and cooperating. It was seen in the previous study that the prophecies of Micah 4 and 5 are to be fulfilled in the latter days, our time, in a time that inspiration by the revelation of these prophecies calls for a reformation among the Yahweh's people. For the prophecies now being unsealed for the first time since they were written, and the Reformation already on the foot, the fact that instead of gladly accepting the freshly revealed message, they are creating a controversy throughout the Adventist churches very obviously indicates that now is the time to contend before the mountains. Now is the time for them, the mountains, to hear the Yeshua's controversy with his people. For the words, arise and contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice, and imply that heretofore his voice has been heard only locally, but that now he must meet the situation, even though the mountains, hills, and the foundations of the earth hear that the Yahshua is having a controversy with his people. Until now, we have been merely trifling with the Yahshua's adversaries, and now we must get down to business regardless who hears it. His people must now forever turn from the man saying, wherever they be, and confine their faith and hope, and as thus saith the Yahshua, regardless through whom he says it, or else they lose out. As the followers of Yahshua, we should hearken unto his heart-rending plea for the revival and reformation. Micah 6:3, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Think of it, a great and infinite Yahweh pleading with such insignificant and sinful human beings as we, wanting to know why they are against him. Micah 6:4, For I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. For the Yahweh is speaking unto us, who are the descendants of the prophets, of the apostles, and of the disciples, who through the years of the servitude among the Gentile nations have lost our national identity. Though we may not call ourselves Israelites, Jacobites, or Jews, Yahweh does so call us, for Yahweh's faithful few throughout the ages were willing and even glad for the sake of the truth and righteousness to face the reproach of the blind and unfaithful brethren. Ought we not be just as glad to do as much? They won the race and the crown, and there is no reason why we should not. Instead, we cannot afford to lose our reward at this late date hour. Micah 6:5. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of the Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim and to Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of the Yeshua. Here we are told that to know the righteousness of the Yeshua is to remember Yahweh's dealings with our forefathers, for his love toward us is not less than it was toward them. For he reminds us of the incident when Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel, and how he caused Balaam to speak for him and to bless his people, that for their sake he brought the king's aim to naught, and caused Balaam to proclaim unto Balak, and now behold, I go unto my people, come therefore, and I will advertise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab, and destroy all the children of Seth, and Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession. For his enemies and Israel shall do valiantly. Numbers 24:14, 17, and 18. Okay. It says, in effect, Balaam said unto the king of Moab, I have tried my best to obtain your favor and to curse Israel. And that Yahweh has prevailed, Israel has won, you and I have lost, and further, let me tell you what this people shall do unto thy people in the latter days. He that is the ruler of Israel shall smite Moab on all sides, and Israel shall do valiantly. Thus was Balaam impelled to predict Christ's birth and his ruling, causing Israel to do valiantly against Moab and his neighboring peoples in the latter days. To know all this is to know the Yeshua or righteousness, that if he is for us, then no one can win a thing against us, that the battle is the Yeshua's, that we have no need to fear our enemies, that whatever we do shall prosper regardless who is for or against us. Micah 6:6-7. Wherewith shall I come before the Yeshua and bow myself before the high Yahweh? Let's do that again. Wherewith shall I come before the Yahweh and bow myself before the high Yahweh? Shall I come before him with the burnt offering, with the calves of a year old? Will the Yahweh be pleased with the thousands of rams, or with the 10,000 of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul. From these verses, it is apparent that the unfoldment of these scriptures brings a revival and reformation among the Yahweh's people such as the world has never seen. Those who receive the truth in its fullness humbly confess that they are sinners and that they wish to know the worst of their case. They gladly sacrifice any and everything unto them. No sacrifice is too great that he would bring them, that would bring them closer unto the Yahshua. Let's go back to the sign here. As soon as the, their God, pride of opinion leaves them, as soon as they humbly inquire how to come and bow before the Yahshua, just that soon, the answer comes unto them. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Yahshua require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly before thy Yahweh. To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our Yahweh is the greatest gift one can bring unto the Yahweh. In order to learn how to do justice, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly, we are emphatically told, Micah 6:9, for the Yahweh's voice cries unto the city, and a man of wisdom shall see thy name, hear ye the rod, and who hath appointed it. For the Yahshua, the Son, declares that his voice is crying unto the city, unto the church, and that the man of wisdom shall see the name, and shall hear the rod, and him who hath appointed it. Manifestly, this rod is capable of the speaking and of the being heard. Thus, the command, hear ye the rod, so far as we know, is the only rod that has ever spoken, is the shepherd rod. Moreover, it was not the result of any studious searching of the Bible that the book was so named, for the author was not familiar with the scripture, nor did he have any understanding of the book of the Micah at the time that the title of Shepherd's Rod was given unto to the book. I, for one, cannot overlook, neglect, or reject the Yahshua's counsel in this matter. I must hear the rod and him who hath appointed it, if I expect to have a home in his kingdom. I cannot afford to do otherwise, for Yahweh helping me, for he himself declares that if I would know how to come before him, what offering is acceptable unto him, how to do justice, how to love mercy, and how to walk humbly before him, I must hear the rod that crieth unto the city. What city? The Seventh-day Adventist Church. Now it is up unto all of us individually to decide whether we should hear the voice of the man or the voice of the Yahweh's rod. This is now everyone's test, and it must be everyone's concern, for one of these two voices, as the voice of man or the voice of Yahweh's rod, will determine everyone's destiny, either for the eternal death or for the eternal life. Since this message announces that the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua is at hand, that the judgment for the living is about to begin, and since Isaiah, the prophet, was given a vision of the Yeshua moving into his temple for this judicial work, the prophet's experiences while he was yet in the vision must therefore represent the experience of Yahweh's servant who are to announce the day of the Yeshua. His experience and commission must be our experience and commission. Also I heard the voice of Yeshua saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And said I, "Here am I, send me." This is Isaiah talking. Isaiah 6. And he said, "Go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed." Then said I, Yahshua, how long? And he answered, "Until the cities be wasted without the inhabitant, without any inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Yahshua have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land." Isaiah 6:6-10. "Sanctify the Yahshua of the host," the Son himself, "and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of the stumbling, and for a rock of the offense, and to both the houses of Israel, the 10 tribes, and the 2 tribes of Judah, for a gin, and for a snare unto the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and many among them shall stumble and fall, and be broken, and be snared, and be taken." Isaiah 8:13-15. Micah 6:10-11. "Are there yet the treasures of the wickedness in the house of the wicked, and the scant measure that is abominable? Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances, and with the bag of the deceitful weights?" There is definitely implied that these abominable things, treasures gained by scanty measures, are yet in the house of the wicked. The aim of dishonestly getting rich quick at the cost of another sweat. Is there a condemned? Is here condemned all these abominations prompted by the selfishness? Must be put away by all who want to survive the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua. For the Yeshua's latter question, "Shall I count them pure with the wicked balances and with the bag of deceitful waste?" denotes that some are still hanging unto their deceitful ways and mistakenly expect to be counted among the pure. There are 2 types of thieves. Thief number 1 is a person who outright steals. Thief number 2 is a person in a deal manages to get a little more than what is really his own. He cares not if in the deal the other fellow makes little or nothing. All he cares about is that he himself fares well. This sort of thievery is the worst because it is practiced even by the so-called best of they're Christian, Marcus 6:12. For the rich men thereof are full of violence, and the inhabitants thereof have spoken lies, and their tongue is deceitful in their mouth. The acts of violence, living and stealing, because inspiration are among Yahweh's people. Micah 6:13. Therefore also will I make thee sick in smiting thee, and making thee desolate because of thy sin. The time has come, brother and sister, to forget self and to be honest with all men, to realize that self is, as it were, the body of a dead man, tied to one's back there to sap one's strength and to put him sick in bed, and that such greedy selfish folk Yahshua declares. Micah 6:14-15. Thou shalt eat, but not be satisfied, and thy casting down shall be in the midst of thee, and thou shalt take a hold, but shalt not deliver, and that which thou deliverest will I give up unto the sword. Thou shalt sow, but thou shalt not reap. Thou shalt tread the olives, but thou shalt not anoint thee with the oil and sweet wine, but shalt not drink wine. Micah 6:16. For the statutes of the hombre are kept, and all the work of the house of Ahab, and you walk in their counsels, that I should make thee a desolation, and the inhabitants thereof and hissing. Therefore you shall bear the reproach of my people, rather than walk in the counsels of Yahweh's Lord. The wicked walk in the counsel of the wicked, and how wicked are their counselors. Inspiration declares that they are as wicked as were those of the house of Omri and Ahab. Omri, I believe, is the father of Ahab. Read 1 Kings 16:25-26, 29, 30, and 33. Consequently, their fate will be the fate of the house of Ahab. Read 2 Kings 10:10-11. Surely Micah 6 leaves no doubt whatsoever that the time is fully come for the Yahweh's people to get down to business as never before, for the message with which we have been entrusted, inspiration to man, should be scattered as the leaves of autumn. Testimony, Volume 9, page 23, and here are the leaves. End of Time of Greetings, number 26, volume 1. Number 27, now we're going to look at it. The title of it is On the Threshold of a New World and the Site of the Old. And this is March 1st, 1947, by Vicki Hollis. It says, this afternoon we are to study the 7th chapter of Micah. This chapter brings unto our attention three divisions of the time in which three different conditions obtain on the earth. The first condition is recorded in the first four verses, the second in verse 5-14, and the third in verse 15, down unto the end of the chapter. Now let us begin our study with Micah 7:1. Woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruit. As the grapes gleanings of the vintage, there is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. Something is lacking unto a vintage after the its fruit is gathered in. What is it? We will find the answer by the reading, Micah 7:2-6. For the good man is perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. They all lie in wait for the blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net, that they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asks and the judge asks for reward, and the great man, he utters his mischievous desire, so they wrap it up. The best of them is as a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be the perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the righteous, having been taken out of the world, and the wicked alone left in it, its condition is depicted by a vintage that has been robbed of its fruits and left in a state of loneliness and fear because of the total wickedness. This sifting takes place in the day that Yahweh visits his watchman. That is, in the judgment day, of the day he separates the wheat from the tares, Matthew 13:30, the good fish from the bad, Matthew 13:47-8, the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25:31-46, Micah 7:7-10, therefore I will look unto the Yeshua, I will wait for the Yeshua of my salvation. My Yeshua will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in the darkness, the Yeshua shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Yeshua, because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, he will bring me forth unto the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her that said unto me, where is the Yeshua, thy Yahweh? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. These verses present the Yahweh's faithful people as the people under whom these prophecies have been unfolded, as having an enemy that bears the feminine designation she. This she questions and doubts Yahweh's presence among his people. She mocks him for their faith. Since these prophecies are now for the first time brought to the light, they constitute the message of the hour, and since upon us has been placed the burden of carrying the message unto the Seventh Adventist Church by the rod people, and since she is our enemy, as was the Jewish Church to the Apostolic Church, inspiration thus bears witness against her and pronounces her doom. Then it shall come to pass that the Gentiles shall see the saints' righteousness and all kings their glory, and they of the people shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Yeshua shall name, Isaiah 52:2, Micah 7:11-12. And the day that thy walls are to be built, and that day shall the deep tree be far removed. In that day since also he shall come even unto thee from Assyria, and from the fortified cities, and from the fortresses, even unto the river, and from sea to sea, and from mountain to mountain. Since this decree is removed in the day that the kingdom, as the church purified, is restored, as the house of David, and the day that the saints are fortified, that's in the 12th parabolic hour that we're in now, the judgment time and the harvest time, the big tree has no effect on them. And that day, declares inspiration, there shall be a great gathering from Assyria and from the fortified cities, even from sea to sea and mountain to mountain. This message, therefore, is the one that preceded the harvest of the earth, the great and dreadful day of the Yeshua, as with the judgment for the living, and with the day in which all things are to be restored. Mark 9:12. Mark 7:13-14. Notwithstanding, the land shall be tested because of them that dwell therein, for the fruit of their doing. Feed thy people with thy rod, the flock of thine heritage, which that dwell solitarily in the wood in the midst of Carmel. Let them feed in the basin and Gilead as in the days of old. Before these promises are fulfilled, though, inspiration declared the land was to be desolate. The dispersion of the people would first take place. This rod of the Yahweh not only speaks, but it feeds too. And what can it be if not meat in the due season, if not the message of the hour? That for the people explained, the scriptures are those who dwell solitarily in the woods in the midst of Carmel, prophesy for this day and hour, can recommend the message which the rod contains and which the Carmel puts out, none other. Micah 7:15, according unto the pace of the coming out of it, according to the days of thy coming out of the land of Egypt, but I show unto him marvelous things. We are given the promise that the saints' experience is to be similar unto that of the Exodus movement, that is, just as they were led out of Egypt by the mighty hand of Yahweh and were brought safely into the promised land. So shall it be now, and it shall come to pass in that day that Yahshua shall set his hand again the second time for the recovering of the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt, from Petros and from Cush, and from Elam and from Shinar and from Hamath and from the islands of the sea. And he shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather together the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Isaiah 11:11-12. Micah 7:16-18. For the nation shall see and be confounded that all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall serve out, move out their holes like the worms of the earth. They shall be afraid of Yahshua, our Redeemer, our King, and shall fear because of thee. Who is he? The house of David. Who is Yahweh like unto thee that pardons iniquity and passes by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He says, then the envy also of Ephraim shall depart, and the adversaries of Judah shall be cut off. Ephraim shall not envy Judah, and Judah shall not vex Ephraim, but they shall fly upon the shoulders of the Philistines toward the west. They shall spoil them of the east together. They shall lay their hand upon the Edom and Moab, and the children of Ammon shall obey them. And the Yahshua shall utterly destroy the tongue of the Egyptian sea. and with his mighty wind shall he shake his hand over the river, and shall smite it in the seven streams, and make men go over dry shod. Isaiah 11, 13 to 15. As great as shall be the day of the Yashua for the faithful, just that dreadful will it be for the unfaithful. Micah 7:19. He will turn again, he will have compassion upon us, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Our Yahweh is wonderful indeed. He retains not his anger. He delights in the mercy. He remembers not the sins of the penitent. He casts them away where they cannot be found anymore. Micah 7:20, thou wilt perform the truth unto Jacob, and the mercy unto Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. Inspiration reaffirms all of Yahweh's promises. They never fail. His prophecies are sure. We are on the threshold of a new world in the sight of the old. Soon there shall be sin no more. Therefore are they before the throne of Yahweh, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That's Yahshua. That's Yahweh the Father sitteth upon the judgment throne. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any beast. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and Yahweh shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Revelation 7:15-17. Even now, says Yahshua, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Ye that make mention of the Yahshua, keep thy silence and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. For the Yahshua has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no more give thy corn to be meat for thine enemies, and the sons of the strangers shall not drink thy wine. For one which thou hast labored, but they that have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Yahshua, and they that have brought it together shall drink it in the course of my holiness. Go through the gates, prepare ye the way of the people, cast up the highway, gather out the stones, lift up a standard for the people. Behold, the Yahshua hath proclaimed unto the end of the world, say you unto the daughter of Zion, which is the house of David, tribe of Judah, lawgiver, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him, and they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Yahshua. And thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Isaiah 62:6-12. We are indeed at the threshold of this new world and the side of the old. Let our works and faith now answer the Yahshua's most astounding question since the world began. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Yahshua whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, that's antiquity Elijah, is the forerunner of Yahshua, the second advent, during the 12th parabolic hour, whom you delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith Yahshua the Holy. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? for he is like the refined fire and like the fuller soap. And he shall sit as a refined and purify the silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Yahshua an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of the Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Yahshua as in the days of old, and as in the former years, and I will come near unto you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, and against the idolaters, and against the false swearers, against those that oppress the harlot and his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his right, and fear not me, saith the Yahshua of the host. For I am the Yahshua, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Malachi 3:1-6. This ends time of greetings number 28. Okay. Our next study will be in time of greetings volume 1, number 29. It says a trodden down kingdom rising to prominence and peace. Seven women take a hold of one man. Okay. Now it says, this is address February 22nd, 1947. Once again, this is one time of greetings number 29. And this is given February 22nd, 1947. This is, we are now to study the book of the Isaiah, beginning with the first chapter and continuing on into the second chapter. For the first part of chapter 1, you well know, deals with the sins of the ancient Israel, while the latter part of the chapter, along with the second chapter, deals with the reestablishment of the kingdom in the latter days. Specifically, it is this latter subject that we are to study today. For the prophet Isaiah being instructed to record what was to befall the people of the Yahweh in the early days as well as in the latter days of their history, quickly unfolds the fact that the Yahshua at the same time had in mind not only his people in the ancient time, but also his people in our time. This same dual view practiced on the subject you will detect throughout the Bible. In this connection, we should raise the question, is our record as a people better or worse than that of the Jews? This can be readily settled by the reading of Testimony Volume 3, page 252 and 3. We shall read right now the message of the Church of the Latter Saints is a startling denunciation and is applicable unto the people of the Yahweh at this present time. And unto the angel of the Church of the Latter Saints, that would be the prophet, Brother Johnson, the last prophet of the Adventist Church, with the third feeding pastor of the Adventist, 2002-2003, came to his end. He sang, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of the Yahweh. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he did this, 2003, in Kermit, Texas, the Brother Johnson, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Brother Johnson had the greatest light of since 1844 of all the Adventists that come after Ellen G. White, the leaders. Brother Johnson had the greatest. He had the creation counter and Yahweh's government to restore Israel back to his rightful order, and he did that. Yahshua here shows us that the message to be born unto his people by the ministers whom he has called to warn the people is not a peace and safety message. It is not merely theoretical, but practical in every particular. For the people of Yahweh are represented in the message unto the little sins as in a position of carnal security. They are at ease, believing themselves to be in an exalted condition of the spiritual attainment, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. What greater deception can come upon a human mind than a confidence that they are right when they are all wrong? For the message of the true witness, and Yahshua is the true witness, the Revelation 1:5, finds the people of Yahweh in a sad deception, yet honest in that deception. They know not that their condition is deplorable in the sight of Yahweh. While those are at risk of flattering themselves that they are in an exalted and spiritual condition, the message of the true witness breaks their security by the startling denunciation of their true condition of the spiritual blindness, poverty, and wretchedness. The testimony so cutting and severe cannot be a mistake, for it is a true witness who speaks, and his testimony must be correct. It is difficult for those who feel secure in their attainments and who believe themselves to be rich in the spiritual knowledge to receive the message which declares that they are deceived and in need of every spiritual grace. For the unsanctified heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. I was shown that many are flattering themselves that they are good Christians who have not a ray of light from the Yahshua. They have not a living experience for themselves in the divine life. They need a deep and thorough work of the self-abasement before the Yahweh, before they will feel their true need of the earnest, persevering effort for the secure secure the precious graces of the Spirit. Testimony, Volume 3, 253. I need not read more. And for the inspiration plainly states that today there is to be a message born unto the people of the Yahweh. That message is to be born not by the ordinary men, but by the ministers called especially for that purpose. And that it is not a message of peace and safety, as the ministry in general would naturally have it, for the author endeavors to impress us with the fact that the people of the Yahweh are deceived in imagining that they are in an excellent condition. Yes, Yahweh's people at this time are every bit as deceived as were the Jews in the days of Yahshua's first advent. In fact, they are perhaps even worse, for they have had the types and the examples of the past, as well as added light shining on their pathway, while the ancients did not have, which the ancients did not have. For the prophet Isaiah had the sad news for the Yahweh's people in his day. He told them that if they continued in their erroneous ways, all of them, good and bad alike, would be dispersed and assimilated by the nations. But for the faithful of today, he has good news, Isaiah 1:24-26. Therefore thus saith Yahshua, the Yahshua of the host, for the mighty one of Israel, and I will cease me of my adversaries. I will cease me of my adversaries and avenge me of my enemies, and I will turn my hand upon thee and purely purge away thy dross and take away all thy tin, and I will restore thy judgments as at the first, and thy counsels as at the beginning. Afterwards thou shalt be called the city of the righteousness, the faithful city. Brethren, let all other people suffer the consequences of the sin Yahshua at this time promises to avenge only his enemies, his adversaries that are within his church. He will purge and purify his church and then restore his judges and counselors as at the first. Then she will indeed be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Behold, the days come, saith Yahshua, that I will sow the house of Israel and the house of Judah with the seed of man and with the seed of beast, and it shall come to pass that, like as I have washed over them, to pluck up and to break down and to throw down and to destroy and to afflict, so will I watch over them to build and to plant, saith Yahshua. In those days they shall say no more, the fathers have eaten the sour grape, and the children's teeth have set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Jeremiah 31:27-30. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 27-28. Zion shall be redeemed with the judgment, and her converse with the righteousness, and the destruction of the transgressors and of the sinners shall be together, and they that forsake the Yahshua shall be consumed. In these verses, the distinction is made between the transgressors and the sinners. No doubt the sinners are those who continually sin or live in sin, while the transgressors must be those who sin only occasionally. Nevertheless, therein shall be the same. Both the habitual and the occasional sinners shall be destroyed together. Isaiah 1:29-31. For they shall be ashamed of the oaks, the great and popular men, which you have desired, and you shall be confounded for the garden that you have chosen. For you shall be as an oak whose leaf fadeth, and as a garden that hath no water. And the stone shall be as tow, and the maker of it as a spark, and they shall both burn together, and none shall quench them. This is just what the wicked may rightly expect. It is the best that Yahweh can give them, for they do not make it possible to have something better. Now we shall go on to the second chapter of the Isaiah's prophecy, for it is a continuation of the first, since verse 1 is but an introduction to what the prophet is to say. I shall omit reading it and begin with Isaiah 2:2. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of Yahshua's house shall be established in the top of the mountain and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. Out of the ruins of both Judah and Israel is to emerge a kingdom, which is the kingdom, everlasting kingdom of heaven, Daniel 2:44-45, which is the kingdom, the antipodal kingdom of David, and a people which shall be exalted above the nation. For the prophet Daniel 2 plainly declares, in the days of these kings shall the Yahweh of the heavens set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and their kingdom shall not be left unto other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. Daniel 2:44. Note that the kingdom which the Daniel is speaking of is to be set up in the days of these kings, not after their days. Moreover, note that it is this kingdom, the church purified, that breaks the great image. To this coming kingdom, the church cleansed, purified, shall the gathering of the people be. Genesis 49:10. It says, when the headquarters of the gospel are thus established, then it becomes certain that the work is to be finished without delay. For the gospel of Yahshua is then to reap an abundant harvest, and the converted multitudes, rather than beat their plowshares and pruning hooks into their instruments, to kill the human being, we shall instead beat the spears and swords into the form implements rather than work to kill. They shall form to feed, for the prophecies are simple and logical, instructive and enlightening. Certainly Yahweh cannot save the world by a lost shirt, for the very thought will appear unreasonable if we ask ourselves these questions. How can he possibly, by his church, lead the world out from its sins while sin is flourishing in the midst of his church? How can he lead the world into all the truth while those whom he is using to teach advancing truth till he comes imagine that they are risen and in need of nothing more, when in fact they are in need of everything, even blind and naked and themselves about to be spewed out? How can he say unto his people that are in Babylon, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues, if he is to bring them into a church with wherein sin is practiced, in view of the fact that the church with the sin and sinners in her midst is just as vulnerable to the plagues as is Babylon? How much worse off would his people be if they were left in Babylon? For the answer to all of these questions is simply this: there must be an awakening unto the spiritual poverty and earnestness in the searching truth. There must be a stop to sin. There must be a sinless place and people, an ark of safety, so to speak, if we are ever to be saved from the plagues. Achan's tomb must be put away before Israel can triumph and take the land. For the Yahweh in his wisdom knows that it is better to destroy comparatively few enemies of the truth than to lose the whole world. All the stumbling blocks must be removed. Then the church will have a second Pentecost. Then every church member will be filled with the Spirit, and it shall come to pass afterward, after the latter rain, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids. In those days will I pour out my Spirit. Joel 2:26-28. Let us now solemnly and diligently heed the Yahshua's plea unto his people at this very time. Isaiah 2:5. O house of Jacob, come you and let us walk in the light of the Yahshua. Very obviously, this verse implies that hitherto Yahweh's people have been walking in the light of man. Isaiah 2:6. Therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east, and are soothsayers like the Philistine, and they please themselves in the children of the strangers. His people as an organization are forsaken of him, but as individuals who come to walk in his light, to follow him in the truth and righteousness, are reaccepted when the present controversy over the message of the hour is ended. Then those who survive the purifying process, the judgment for the living, in the house of the Yahweh, which would be the Seventh-day Adventist Church, 1 Peter 4:17, the cleansing of the sanctuary, Daniel 8:14, will be the inhabitants of Zion and of Jerusalem, as the members of the church, the body of Yeshua, Isaiah 2:7. The land also is full of silver and gold, neither is there any end of their treasures. The land is also full of the horses, neither is there any end of their chariots. Of all the nations in the world today, America, the nation in which are the headquarters of the church, is the richest. Especially so at this particular time, the time in which the truth is unfolding. Moreover, no other nation has as many church leaders, horses, and as many churches, chariots. No other nation in the world has for every one of his citizens' room in his church. These are the designating marks which the Yeshua employs to point out the land and the people under whom he is speaking. Isaiah 2:8-10. Your land also is full of idols. They worship the work of their own hand, that which their own fingers have made, and the mean man boweth down, and the great man humbleth himself. Therefore forgive them not. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Yeshua and for the glory of his majesty. For the nation referred to evidently brags much about her achievements. The great and small are all alike in this respect, says this rich. True, there is nothing wrong in progress, but progress should never become our God. Even eventually all will come to the end of their idolatry, for when the Yeshua manifests his power, they will leave their idols and run for the rocks. Isaiah 2:11. For the lofty looks of man shall be humble, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and Yeshua alone shall be exalted in that day.